Mr. Cunningham, Rio 4. We've got to the point where you'd gone to the third bridge during the German Ardennes offensive, which would be December into January 1945. The third bridge you went to was at Givet. What happened there?
While assessing where I should locate myself and my troop in the defend the Givet bridge, I realised that, or I was told, that it was no longer necessary to defend that bridge because Montgomery now knew where the American line was, where the German line was, and we should go towards that line. And this is when you come up to driving on grid references and not so much on places. And I found myself doing recce for the, I think it was the 29th Brigade, which was the 5 and 4 for Yeomanry, specifically.
And this was in basically an advance to contact situation, was it, or...?
No, because they knew where they knew where the enemy were, but when I was told, given a specific job, which was to capture this church, which the tanks wanted it as an OP.
Tell us about that then. They can't see a picture, so no. Tell us what happened. Which church was it?
It was above the village of Bour. And
B-O-U-R?
B-U-R-E. And
when was this? Was this actually in January or...?
Yes.
But what exactly happened?
I took my, left the cars, took my own troop and a carrier troop, which I'd been given, again without the carriers, and and set off through the snow to this church, which was wanted by the tanks as an OP. I didn't know it at the time, but Bour was a dreadful place. It had taken a lot of capturing. An enormous number of our parachutists had been killed there. And so I guess that the chapel was held by the Germans. And as we got to where it was, I put a Piat round. I had a Piat round fired into the church where I thought the German machine gun post would be, and I then sent my Piat team back to a car to radio that the tanks could come and have their OP. I'd got it all safely, and then I moved my people back a few yards from the church, because if you go to somewhere the enemy have been, they know exactly where it is, and within minutes you'd be mortared and waiting to be mortared. And lo and behold, I was very pleased to hear a tank coming up the cavalry towards the chapel, and I presumed it was the 13th, I mean that the 5 and 4 far, but it wasn't, it was a German tank. And
did you recognise which type?
I'm pretty sure it was a Mark IV. And their officer who'd earlier left his pistol on the floor, one of my chaps had picked it up, put it in his pocket. He jumped down and we immediately shot him. And his gunner then started firing. I'm talking all this taking place at 20 yards away. And he was firing very high. I don't know why, but I was able to take my people back the way we had come. And I don't think the 5 and 4 fire yeomanry ever did get it as an OP, but by that time Boer had been captured anyway.
Now, how did your liaison with the 5 and 4 fire go? You put in your notes that they didn't respond to the information you passed back to them very quickly. What sort of information were you passing back to them, and why? In what way didn't they respond quickly?
Well, if you if you're carrying out recce for people who know you, and if you say it looks as though the enemy are here or there, they don't say, "Oh bloody hell, you're doing a recce." You're telling them, and if they say, "Go and have a further look" or something, if they go and do it themselves, of course they're liable to be in trouble because they haven't got any of the background of the location that you've got yourself into. You certainly know everything that's behind you. They don't know what's behind you and what's in front of you or anything else. And I won't say quite often, but we were always conscious of the fact that you could give people information and they wouldn't use it because they didn't know you or they hadn't heard from you before.
So they didn't trust you to
or they didn't, or they didn't want to trust you. Because, I mean, there were quite a lot of bomb-happy
You mean they just didn't want to come forward and put themselves in
more danger? Yeah.
What about the winter conditions? How did that affect you personally, and also the tanks and the armoured cars on the road? Well, firstly, your uniform. What, you were wearing white, weren't you?
We had white uniforms. But it was so cold that you were very pleased to have your tank suit on, because we had tank suits.
Tell me what they were like, because we've not discussed it.
A tank suit.
Were they the Sidcut, or which sort, which make type were they?
I don't know, we just call them a tank suit.
What was a tank suit?
It was an anorak, trousers, and hood, all in waterproof and warm material, super things. We very much liked some of the German fur garments, but we weren't allowed to use them because if you were wounded when you were wearing fur, there was a tendency to get anthrax or other diseases from the fur.
Now, what about the road conditions? What would you, and how did it affect both the tanks and the armoured cars?
Yes, well, there were some tanks which had got rubber tracks, and they would hold the road pretty well. But there were some that had no rubber tracks, and they couldn't stay on the road at all. They just slithered from one side to another, dangerous to us and to themselves as well. And there were quite a number of tanks which hadn't got 17-pounders, so they were no use as anti-tank guns. In fact, they weren't much use at all. But what happened really, in my opinion, was that the people who had got rubber tracks and had got 17-pounders felt that they were being overused because they were capable of being used. And I must say they did everything that I asked them to do.
What did you ask them to do?
Well, I asked them to get the crew out of a carrier. I didn't know whether the carrier had been blown up on a mine or whether it had been hit, because there were quite a number of self-propelled guns in the area, German guns. And I then found myself away from the armour and being in the middle of some of the 6 Airborne people. And it was at that stage that I asked an RAMC chap if he would have a look into this carrier. And he resented it because he sent a couple of medics along and they both got bomb happy. He had to evacuate them. He said he couldn't afford to lose men like that. And I said, well, no, I'm sorry, but you know, I'm not going to leave my car to go and look at a knocked out carrier when you're here. So he and I weren't friends.
What happened in the end?
I don't know.
So, anything else about your relationship with the 2nd Fife and 4th Fife Yeomanry?
No, they were very experienced. They were D-Day people. They were a very experienced crowd. But we had been some months now, we had been under snow and ice, and conditions are pretty horrid, really.
So, what's the next thing you remember then? Any other incidents during the Ardennes offensive?
Yes, I was given a troop of SAS attached to me because their officer had been killed. And
these were Belgian, though?
Yes, it was a Belgian squadron of SAS. And they were so mad keen to go shooting up the enemy that I think that I was given them because, I don't know, somebody must have thought they were too difficult to control.
Now, they were in armoured jeeps.
Yes.
What were you in? Were you in armoured jeeps?
Armoured cars. No.
You stayed in the armoured cars. Now, what do you remember of your time with the Belgians?
Well, it was very soon after the Boer episode. And I say their officer had been killed, and I thought he'd been killed unnecessarily because he took a horse and drove it through a minefield. He knew it was a minefield. And the horse got killed and the officer got killed. But one tends to be a bit unsympathetic. But the soldiers, they were all university students. At least that's my guess of what they were. And they'd had one of their cars knocked out, and so I found myself with three Batmen because there's nothing else for them to do.
Was there any operations with the Belgians, or was it just an administrative role?
Oh no, they were part and parcel of my troop, but one had to be careful where you put them because they tended to be death or glory. They had no real interest in coming back as far as one could see.
Do you remember any of your operations with them?
Yes, I remember going into a farmhouse with one of the cars because it was alleged that there were Germans in the farmhouse, and there weren't any Germans there, but there was an old woman and she's saying the Germans were there and they're firing machine guns all the time, and they wanted to shoot her because she was clearly telling fibs, always round the twist, and she was saying they got machine guns, and these chaps were not so friendly as I was.
You were working with parachutists as well, or is this the same incident, same group, the parachute regiment you mentioned here?
Yeah, the medical corps people that I mentioned were parachute corps, yes. And then the chap who, Lieutenant Colonel, I think it was, who came and shouted at me for not getting on. My great pleasure, he was sniped at as I had been. And after he'd gone away, it wasn't long before I was able to move off again, because the vehicles, the anti-tank guns, which had been in the wood on the left of the system, he said his men had been through. And whether they had been or not, I don't know. We were a bit anti Six Para, because from D-Day till Christmas they'd been high on the hog in the south of England.
So what's the next thing you remember then?
I don't know where I went from there. Back into Belgium, I suppose, was it?
I presume so, yeah.
And that's when I transferred to the Berkshire Regiment, which was the Beach Brigade. I was one of 12 radio officers given to them for their Rhine crossing.
What was a radio officer?
An officer with the ability to use the radio. You've got to know how to use the call signs, the code signs, how to net the set, how to operate the set.
And which battalion of the Berkshire Regiment?
I think it was the 8th Battalion.
And where were they when you joined them?
In Charleroi, in Belgium.
And what was your first impressions of the Berkshires?
Well, they were so pleased to be given 12 officers. I think they had wondered how on earth they were going to manage with their normal war establishment. Given the task that they had got, which was to man every aspect of the Rhine crossing. Every aspect means pontoon bridges and buffaloes and...
What do you mean they were provided? In what way? What were they doing?
What did I do when...
No, what were they doing?
Who the
Berkshire Regiment.
The Berkshire Regiment.
They provided a labour force or what? Sorry, you've lost me a bit.
No, they controlled the rate at which people could cross, or
they were acting as traffic police.
Yes.
I mean, essentially.
Yes. And they were given engineers who had white tapes leading up to the entry of the water. I don't know what they did on the other side, but a beach brigade would certainly be committed to the other side as well as the near side.
So what do you remember of the crossing of the Rhine then?
Well, the amazing... the amazing number of aircraft crashing, and the amount of smoke that was put across the place and the guns that were firing across the place. It was noisy and miserable. And I didn't get on very well with the officer on the other side, my opposite number, who had also been, he was from the 12th Lancers, and I didn't approve of his radio procedures. and I don't think he approved of mine, so.
So what happened after the crossing? What do you remember of that? The advance through Germany?
I'm trying to think. I remember when I was in Bremerhaven. That would have been this side of the Rhine, wouldn't it?
Quite sure.
Don't know.
There's not much in your notes about after, between crossing the Rhine and V-Day. Is it not a period you remember the advance through Germany?
Yes, but we just kept going, if you see what I mean, and when we went and then...
What was your actual role? I mean, were you still controlling the advance? This was the 5th Battalion Berkshire, not 8th, it says in your book. What were you doing during the advance into Germany?
Well, nothing to do with the Beach Brigade. I was back to the recce, to 15th Scottish recce. And we were given a route and... We're heading, as we thought, for Berlin.
And there's no particular incident you remember from that advance?
No.
Do you remember VE Day?
Yes.
What do you remember then?
That I'd had a... The squadron had had a carrier knocked out the day before. Wasn't my carrier, but it was pretty close, and the whole area was covered in very heavy mines, which were blowing the armoured vehicles sideways. Really. But I remember when I got the signal saying no offensive action after 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, one of my corporals said, could he keep this thing as a souvenir? And I said, yes, with pleasure. Gave it to him.
What do you remember about the time in Germany?
You mean after VE Day?
Yes.
Well, I was... I was converted to tanks because there were no armoured cars in the Far East, and myself and a chap in the County of London Yeomanry, the two of us were given a sergeant instructor, and on Lüneburg Heath we were converted to tanks.
Which tank did you train on?
The Sherman. But as you can imagine, after Sandhurst and armoured cars, there wasn't really a lot to learn.
And then what happened?
And then I was made assistant town major of the Felling Bostel.
What did that involve?
That involved I was running, I was getting staff and accommodation basically for people who were trying to run garages, mostly remail officers. They were trying to set up maintenance areas for broken down vehicles, and just wondering what stage I found myself off to Bilson, which I'd still got armoured cars then, so must have been while I was still with 15 Scottish. That was very unpleasant to, in that when I reached Bilson, the nursing sister there said if they didn't get better food, they were going to all have TB in no time at all. Would I send my cars and get them some fresh food? So I enjoyed doing that.
Did you visit the camp?
Oh, yeah. Weren't allowed to smoke anywhere near the prisoners, as they had been called, because they killed one another trying to get the cigarette ends or the nubs.
Now, could you sketch out your remaining military service? Just, I think we'll probably make do with that, but if you could just tell us where you served after that, just to finish the record.
I found myself in three divisions because somebody had a theory that three division was going to be the first to go to the Far East, and I think I was told that I was too old to be in 3 Div. But didn't make sense really. Then I found myself at a court-martial centre where I was prosecuting for a couple of weeks. And then back again to Felling Bostel. But who I worked for when I was in Felling Bostel, I don't know really.
Well, you became a regular, didn't you?
Yes. But you've got to be 21 to be a regular. And so when I went to the regular commission board, which was in Belgium, I got a grading NY, not yet. And I always thought that it was because I hadn't done well enough, but it was because I was under 21. And when I was in Egypt, and I flew from Nairobi to Cairo, where the regular commission board was, I remember the chap in charge of the board was, he pulled out eggs, because in the armoured corps you could either wear a peaked hat if you were cavalry or a blackberry if you were tanks. And we'd all put on peaked hats. And he said, "Gentlemen, you got it all wrong. I'm a tankie." And he was Victoria Cross, and we ought really to have known that he was Royal Tank Regiment, didn't I? But anyway, the only people who passed that course were people who'd had NYs, and I was one of the people who'd had an NY previously.
Thank you very much.